Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I know how to do this by now. I'll let Jeannie do it for me.
You should be on now.
I was giving me an error message. It says, ask Ed. thank you. Hi. So, this morning's five-minute foundation is about being filled with the Spirit. And it's, a lot of times that phrase gets associated with speaking in tongues, which is not what this one's about. I think next week's is about that. But a couple of takeaways from this that are really, really important. When the Scriptures talk about being filled with the Spirit, it's always something that it says to people who are already saved. So, and that's a real important thing to keep in mind. It's not about the process of becoming a Christian. It's talking about something that happens after we're already a Christian. So that's one takeaway. But the other thing that I want to emphasize this morning before I run through the notes on it is that we can be filled with a lot of things. And our culture even uses phrases like, oh, he's full of fear. Or if somebody's lying all the time, they say they're full of fill in whatever the blank is there. You know what I'm saying? Our culture uses a bunch of phrases related to being full of stuff, full of darkness, full of fear, full of joy. Oh, that person is so filled with joy. And I didn't get to look this up, but I believe the word enthusiasm comes from original languages meaning filled with God. And feels filled with God. So enthusiasm, the word itself implies something, that being filled with something. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit. And I don't think there's a, is there a 5-minute foundation on the fruit of the Spirit? There's not, right?
There is not.
Yeah, okay. So the fruit, when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, everything in life is easier and better than if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, what negatives can there be to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? There's no negatives in any of those things. And if we want to flow in the fruit of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit is where it starts. So it's something that happens after you're saved. It has to do with not you having, because Jesus, if you're a born-again believer, Jesus lives inside you. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. It's something more than that. Okay. So it starts with, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And I don't have it in the notes here, but I think the ones that you have say, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is that what's in there? Doesn't that sound like good stuff, right? Forget all the other stuff. What if you could just live your days making melody in your heart to the Lord? There's no downside to that. All right. What we're not going to get into this morning is the process by which we relate to God in a way that causes us to be filled with the Spirit. That's for another day. But I do want to make sure that we understand this concept of being filled with the Spirit. All right. Three things to note. This is to everyone. Every believer is told to be filled with the Spirit. It's an imperative. And I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm following the same sequence as your notes. Why don't I? Yeah, this is to everybody. This is an imperative. It's not a suggestion, right? And this is an ongoing action. It's something that, it's more like filling up your gas tank than it is a one-time event. You fill up your gas tank, the car runs fine, but eventually the gas tank needs to get filled up again, right? Jesus went off by himself alone. Before most of the famous stories we read in the Scriptures, we see that Jesus was off alone with the Father, getting his tank filled. Getting his tank filled. There, if we're going to live ultimately the way God wants us to live, we've got to be being filled constantly. It's not once. It's just we have to get that. It's just like sleep. You need sleep in order to function properly. And just, hey, I got a good night's sleep last night. I'm set for life. No. You go out and you exert energy the next day and you need another good night's sleep or another good meal. It's more like that than a single event. All right. When we come to Christ, the Bible tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit. That's from the book of Romans. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. All these things are related to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet there's more. And I like this passage from Acts chapter 4. This is the disciples praying to the Father, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And it's important to point out that whatever happened in that event when they were filled with the Spirit, these are all the people who had already given their lives to Jesus. So how do we get filled? And this is overly abbreviated. The three fill-ins are believe, ask, and receive. Each one of those would be worth a good 15, 20 minutes sometime, and maybe we'll do that. But the first step is going to God and saying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Believe that he says he will do that, and then receive it. Again, we're overly simplifying this morning. If nothing else, know that it's something that God has for you. The fruit of the Spirit is something that you can enjoy living with, in, by, whatever the right phrase is. And it begins with just understanding that there's something that God wants to do in each of us regularly, I don't know, daily, by the minute, but regularly being filled with the Spirit. Okay, I'd almost like to have a question and answer time on this, but we'll do something like that another day. But be filled with the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I have a word of encouragement for everyone in this church. It does not matter what God is, what you're being tested your faith of. Right now, Kevin and I are going through a major test of faith. I just researched, he has 3 invasive cancers. But I'm telling you right now, praising God and worshiping him through the hardest of times, no matter how small your test is or how major your test is, God is control and he knows. So just keep worshiping him no matter how much your faith is being tested. Because God is our healer, he is our tower and our refuge, and he will see us through. So no matter what, just praise and worship God through no matter what is going on in your life, because nothing is too big for God.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The next song we're going to sing is called The Same God. The God who did miracles that you read about in your Bible, has he changed? He has not changed. He is the same God who parted the Red Sea. He's the same God who poured out the Spirit on Jesus, on the disciples. He is the same God who heals. Glory to his name. If you would stand with us one more time.
Oh, we need you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord.
Oh, come and fill us again, Lord. Come pour out your Spirit. Fill us again, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we need you. We confess our need for you. Without you, we know we can do nothing. Oh, Jesus. God, our God, how we need you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord.
Yes.
Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Today we're going to, am I on?
Hello.
Today we are going to celebrate communion,
and to have communion with us, there is a requirement. You need to be born again. And that's the only requirement. We have what we call open communion at our church. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, we welcome you to join us today in communion. I'm going to ask that you come and take the elements. We do have a gluten-free option if you need that. And if you would come and take the elements, and then we will hold them, partake together. Please feel free to come now. God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I don't think that there is a greater illustration of how much we need God than when we celebrate communion. Without the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, we would be without hope. There would be no hope, no help. But for God and for what He did in His faithfulness to us. While we were yet sinners, while we were people who were busy shaking our fist against God and going our own way, He gave us His most precious gift, His beloved Son. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that gives us life, that gives us hope, Father, that has been given to us not because of our merit, but because of your great love for us. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We have some prayer needs I'd like to bring up before the body this morning. I'd like us to remember our brother Kevin. I was grateful for Roxanne's exhortation today. Yes, amen. As God is faithful, and we praise him in the storm. He's faithful when the sun is shining down on us. He's faithful in the rain. We can believe him. But let's lift up our brother Kevin today and believe God for all that he's walking through. We want to believe God to bring deliverance and healing from cancer. I'd also like to make mention, Sister Kim is asking for prayer again for her brother Chuck and his recovery and his salvation. She also has a friend named Pam. Her sister passed away suddenly, and on the same day that her sister died, her son was rushed to the hospital with a brain bleed and a cancerous tumor, and he's 18 years old. Sherry Clark asked for prayer for her neighbor Donna, older lady, I assume, and she took a fall, and she was yelling out to Sherry this morning saying, "I've fallen." Was it this morning? She couldn't get up, and we want to pray for her, and I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but we can certainly pray for Donna to get the help that she needs. Our Father, we thank you that you are faithful. Lord, we lift up our brother Kevin to you. God, we pray that the healing virtue of the Holy Spirit would come and eradicate cancer from his body in the name of Jesus. God, we just want to speak life and health and healing over our brother, that you would touch everything that's not supposed to be in his system and drive it out, Lord. Father, we pray that Holy Spirit anointing would just descend on him right now, even as we're praying, and bring healing to his body in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for this brother of Kim, Lord, that needs to recover, Lord, but he mostly needs to know Jesus as his Savior. Father, we pray for his physical and his spiritual recovery. We pray for Chuck. God, that you would touch his body and touch his spirit. Help him, Father. Help him to find you. And Lord, for this family who lost a sister and then whose son is suffering with this tumor, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray over this family. God, that you would have mercy. Lord, I pray that Kim would be able to speak life into this family. Lord, she'd be able to pray with them. God, that you would use her in this family. And Lord, that you would especially touch this young man, Lord, who needs your grace and your touch. Father, deliverance from cancer. Lord, help him. God, help him in the name of Jesus. deliver him from that cancer. You are the great physician. We believe you. And Lord, for Sherry's friend, neighbor Donna, we pray that you would touch her, help her, Father, in the time where she is feels so unsteady and insecure. And Lord, that you would help her, provide the help that she needs, both for her physical needs and for her spirit, Lord. God, we pray that she would not leave this earth before that she knows that Jesus is her Savior. She would touch her, help her, and minister to her needs. Use our sister Sherry to be able to be a light to her and to encourage her, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Are there any testimonies today? I hope we didn't use them all up last week. I know we prayed last week for our brother Jaziel, and Jaziel sent me a picture of this beautiful car that the Lord provided for his family, and it was the car you were looking for, right? It was that. Yes, glory to God. We were praying. Yes. Yay! So his family doesn't have to walk around on foot. Sherry. You got to point it right at yourself. That way we can hear you, and it gets on the recording too. It's not on. I'm sorry, it's not on. I think it got shut. It died. Yeah, it died. Death of a microphone. Or maybe it just got turned off. Okay, try. Yeah.
So he's been estranged from everybody in the family for several years. And he's been heavy on my heart over the last, 6 months or... I mean, I pray for all my kids, but...
This is Kevin you're talking about?
It's Kevin.
Kevin, your brother, your son, yeah.
Well, Kevin... last week I got a phone call out of the blue, and so he said, hello, Mother, this is your beloved son, Kevin. And I'm in the area, and could I stop by? And I said, of course. So he came with a couple of friends, and we had a nice visit. He needs God, and I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. Many years ago, at our little full gospel church down in Chamberlain Street, the Lord spoke to me. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house. And he stressed that word, and. And I've held on to that all these years. It's got to be, 40 years or more. That was a real encouragement to me. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
I just wanted to thank everybody for your prayers. And just know that I can feel it from everybody here. And my God, it's the real medicine I need to help me. You know, my contacts, my pastor, my sister, Roxanne. You know, without her, I wouldn't even be here to start with. And praise her, Lord. She is on fire with the Spirit, and that's what I need. And I'll continue to need each and every one of you and like to have a visit and sit down and talk about things with my health. I'm going to fight like the devil because I know the Lord's behind me.
Fight like an angel, man.
An angel, yeah. Dave said...
We'll skip the devil.
I came in one time and I said, Dave, what's up? And he said, the Lord.
I got several testimonies, but I prefer to pray for Kevin. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, thank you so much. Thank you for so much for that visit and what it meant to Sherry. And as the body of Christ, we join with our sister, Lord God. We join with our sister with that promise that you would save her and her house, Lord, and that's Kevin. God, and we believe you're doing a mighty thing in the earth. And Father, we just would pray that you would send people of influence into Kevin's life, Lord God, that would be able to speak a word in season, and that you would continue to encourage Sherry's heart, that you do all things well in your time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One regular prayer request that we find ourselves praying over, especially on Wednesday night prayer meeting, is for the return of the prodigals. And there's not a family represented here, I imagine, that doesn't have a prodigal. Somebody who maybe grew up in the church and has wandered off. And if the prodigals, if we had a revival of the prodigals, our churches would be overwhelmed just if the prodigals came home. God, do it. Oh, he is able. He is able. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we've been looking at the tabernacle in the wilderness. And, Eric, you got your work cut out for you today. I've got some extra stuff in there, too. But my PowerPoint should be in the bottom there. Oh. So one thing that is different with the Israelites in their worship of God than any other of the religions of the world is that God said, I want to come and live with you. The other religions, remember, they were all, people were scared of their God. They had to do things to appease their God. They had to offer, and it was a fearful thing, and their God was always far away, and they were fearful that their God was going to strike them, hurt them, and yet our God, Exodus 25, we're missing a, yeah, thank you, Andy. Exodus 25:8, he says, build me a sanctuary so that I can come and dwell with them. God wants to dwell with us. He wants to live with us. He wants relationship. He wants a personal relationship with each of us. And he wants it to be intimate and, aha, thank you. There we go. There it is. So far we've looked at the outer court. I'm not going to go back and review all that we talked about there and the bronze altar and the bronze laver. But there are three main parts to the tabernacle in the wilderness. There was the outer court. If I go back to that picture, you can see the outer court surrounded by white linen. In there's the bronze altar and the laver. Number two and number three, the other parts are where what we're going to look at today are the holy place and the holy of holies. And the tabernacle emphasized the presence of God in the midst of his people. And God was always there and accessible, but the holy place and the holy of holies were exclusive to the priests. And this shows that God's holiness and his inaccessibility to the people because of their sin in that day. And we talked about how we pass through that outer gate. Remember, Jesus is the door. To the brazen altar where the blood sacrifice was given for the sins of the person bringing it. And then the laver last week for cleansing and washing by the word and the spirit. So now we're coming to the holy place, and we're coming to the Holy of Holies. And it was a very carefully detailed structure towards the west side. Remember, the tabernacle faced east toward the sunrise. And so this inner tabernacle, in Exodus 26, lays out a very, very careful design for this inner tabernacle. But before it outlines the construction of the building, God gives very specific directions for the coverings. And it was very clear directions about how that tabernacle was to be covered. And there were four specific coverings that were put over the top of this holy place. And Eric, I have a video there that you're probably going to have. I brought it up. It's on Chrome on the bottom. And you'll have to drag it over. And you know what? I'm going to come back and give you a hand with that. Oh, you got it. Look at that. And it's not there.
The other one did that too. I clicked on this one.
No, it's not there. Why is it not there? Okay. Well, that's really strange.
Yeah, the other one disappeared too.
Okay, so. All right, technical difficulties. We will bring it up in a second. Sorry.
Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain, from the selvage in the coupling. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain, in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 catches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the catches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle.
Well, and there was silence in the heavens for the space of half an hour.
And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 catches of brass, and put the catches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins. And thou shalt make...
Yeah, you can stop it there. I find that as I'm reading all of the how they built the tabernacle, and a cubit here and a side there and an end here, it really helps me to see a video that sort of shows. And now this is not definitive, this is an artistic rendition of it, but it gives you an idea of those coverings and how they were made. And Exodus, this is all from Exodus 26, and details of the very first set of curtains. And if you could bring my PowerPoint back up, Eric. You'll have to drag that window out of the way and bring... You'll have to minimize that window. Hit the escape button. And drag it at the top. Yep. Right up at the top. Higher. A little higher. Yep. A little more. There you go. Now just grab it and drag it. Thank you. And away it goes. Okay. You'll have to advance it. This is not... Wow! Welcome to the world of technology not really cooperating. There we go. Okay, thank you. The first covering that we saw was linen, and we talked about the linen in the tabernacle before. I don't want to go back and review all of that, but we discussed that linen represents the clean, pure, holy righteousness of God. And when people come in through that door to the outer court and inside through the door of Jesus to the brazen altar, and you accept his sacrifice, you are surrounded by his righteousness. You're in. You're there. Glory to God. And God carefully here details the colors that were to be used for this linen covering over the top. And we've talked about this a little bit before. Blue represented heaven. In Ezekiel 1:26, the prophet sees the throne of God. And he says it shines with the color of lapis lazuli. That's a beautiful blue color. Speaks of the heavens and heavenly. The purple color that is woven into that first covering speaks of royalty. John 19, when the soldiers mocked Jesus, they dressed him in a purple robe and they bowed before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." If only they knew what they were doing, speaking the truth, but in the wickedest way possible. And then lastly, the scarlet speaks to us of redemption. 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you have been healed. That first covering that settles over the Holy of Holies, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that the heavenly king, royalty, and the redemption. The second set of curtains were a covering of goat hair. And I put this handsome fellow up here to show the kind of goat that they had. This was a black covering. That was the kind of goats that they had at that had available at that time. It was actually 11 goat hair curtains. The covering was black, like the goats of that location. Blackness in Scripture is always strongly associated with sin. John 3:19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. When we think of the color black, we think of the darkness and the blackness of sin. And the scripture says, in him, in God, there is no darkness at all. The goat hair can also remind us of the most holy day of the Jewish year, Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. That once a year atoning time where they brought two goats. You'll notice that the curtain was two separate pieces, two curtains, two goats. One goat was killed and its blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in the on the ark in the Holy of Holies. And then the priest took the other goat and laid his hands on it and confessed the sins of Israel over that goat, and then they sent it out. It was called the scapegoat. If you ever wondered where that name came from, that's where it comes from. If you tell somebody they're a scapegoat, there, that goat was taking that blame, and was that goat was released into the wilderness. One goat was killed for the sins of the people. The other goat was confessed over and sent away. And I want to say that really, the twofold significance of the goats, there's something here that I think is so important if you can get a hold of it. The twofold significance of the goats, therefore, is that God forgives and God forgets. God forgives through that first goat's sacrifice, and then God forgets. He sends our confessed sins off and away. God forgives and God forgets. It isn't that he's forgetful. He chooses not to remember our sins. Hebrews 8:12, for I will forgive their iniquities and will remember their sins no more. Now, the problem is that we can forgive, but we don't forget. We have a problem with that, but God doesn't have a problem with that. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. That forgetting is a wonderful, wonderful promise of God that he will forgive and he doesn't remember our sins. The third covering, ram skins dyed red. This reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice and his precious blood given that we just celebrated earlier in communion. The rams had to die before those skins could be obtained, and there had to be death to cover our sins. There had to be bloodshed to cover our skins, to our sins. Notice, please, that this red covering was placed over the black covering. There was the black covering, and what covered it completely? The red covering. Jesus' blood covers our sins. Hallelujah. Even in the temple, we see it. The blackness of the sin was covered over, and there it is. It's sandwiched. The black sin is sandwiched between the righteous holiness of Jesus and his shed blood. And it's covered, and it's gone. Glory to God. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, led like a lamb to the slaughter. 1 Peter 1:18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life you inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot. Are you glad that even in the tabernacle, there's the picture of the blackness of our sin surrounded by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus. There it is again. Remember, I told you everything in this tabernacle points to Jesus over and over and over again. The last covering, it says badger skins. The video that we watched was reading from the King James. It was a little hard to, maybe a little harder to follow than one of the more modern translations. I think the King James says sea cows. or badger skins. What most scholars feel today is that it was probably the skins of aquatic animals that were readily available at that time. Aquatic animal hides. I'm not sure exactly what kind of creature it was, but those aquatic animal hides were the thing that was able to take the punishment of those desert elements out there. And they figured that it took probably 1,000 to 1,500 of those skins to make that covering that went over. And this covering was very plain looking. It was just skins. By the world standards, it would be very plain, and it reminds us of what Isaiah said about the coming Messiah. He had no stately form or majesty to attract us, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in John 1:1-14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He was willing to take on the very plain human flesh, that plain, ordinary thing. So that last covering of aquatic animal skins covers over all the incredible beauty of the holy place and the Holy of Holies underneath it. The walls that were covered with gold inside, the golden candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the Holy of Holies, the golden ceiling, walls, everything, all covered over with something that was very plain and very unassuming. And that was Jesus. And he puts his precious treasure inside of each of you. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So if you ever feel like you're not particularly gorgeous and beautiful and you aren't going to make the cover of Vogue magazine, you're in right standing with God, with Jesus, because he wasn't either. God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. And that's where the treasure is. I want to just take a minute. We're going to finish up quickly. We've got a lot to do afterward. But I feel that the Lord has given me a prophetic word for you today. And I don't think it's for a specific individual, although it will be for specific individuals. I want you to think about we talked about those coverings, and we talked about that black cover being sandwiched in between the blood of Jesus on top and his righteousness underneath, covering blackness. What is blackness? Blackness can be our sin, the things that we've done that have offended God, but they can also be our brokenness, the things that have been done to us, the sin of other people that has been impressed upon our life, the things that other people did to us, other people's issues and our issues. Those things can come. The regrets of the past, the mistakes of the past, the idea that, well, if only I had done this, if only I had not done this, the disappointments of the past, if only that hadn't happened, if only that had happened. I want to say today that when we deal with that black thing being covered, I believe the Lord wants people to understand that that also covers the spirit of regret and the spirit of disappointment that comes to mire people in the past. The blackness of sin infects everything, and it can bring on people a sense of regret and disappointment. And the spirit of regret and the spirit of disappointment's purpose, the enemy will use that in your life to try to keep you mired in the past. All of those things will keep a person mired in the grief of something that's happened in the past. It takes your joy out of the present, and it steals your hope for the future. The regrets and the disappointments and the hurt and the pain of the past can steal the joy of the present and steal your hope for the future. But the blood of Jesus, like the tabernacle covering, can cover all that blackness. I feel like the Lord is saying to me, there are some people here today, and you have been stuck in your life with regrets. There's been something that has just nagged at you that you have regretted, and it's become almost a grief to your heart and your spirit. And God wants to set you free today from the spirit of regret. I don't know who that is, but boy, there's somebody here today. You have struggled with regret. Disappointment. Somebody else has felt keen disappointment. Maybe we've all felt keen disappointment, but there's been just a terrible disappointment that has come and brought grief and has tried to mire you in the hurts of that disappointment. And God wants to bring release from that terrible spirit of disappointment so that you can not expect the worst, but that you can rejoice in today and have hope for the future. Joy for today and hope for the future. Glory to His name. Thank you, Lord. God wants to free people from regret, disappointment of the past. That is a bad place to live. But the blood of Jesus, just like that tabernacle covering, covers all the blackness, takes the power of it out, takes the sting of it out, and brings deliverance. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person who has struggled with either the blackness of their own sin, the regret of their past, or the regrets and disappointments of the past. If only I could have done this. If only I had been able to have that. If only they hadn't done this. Lord, I pray that you would deliver people from the regrets and the disappointments of the past that have want to hold them back and keep them bound, wishing that they could have escaped something that already happened. Father, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. It's time to press forward and have hope for the future. Father, I pray that you would bring deliverance from every hurt and blackness of regret and disappointment that has come to steal the joy out of your people's hearts today. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and praise and honor that you forget. You forgive and forget our sins. Father, we don't forget, we remember. I pray that you would cleanse over those memories. Sprinkle your blood, Lord, over all of those memories. Take the sting of those things out and help your people to walk in freedom today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you've struggled with any of those things today, I encourage you to put that before God and say, Father, cover it and deliver me from the blackness of that thing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to transition in just a few minutes to our annual business meeting. But if you need prayer today, we encourage you to come up. We, as a Full Gospel Church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and we believe in healing. If you would like prayer, I invite you to come up, and someone will be here to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. We will start our business meeting probably in about, well, maybe we can make it 15 minutes. We'll try to do that. Thank you, Lord. My brother. Thank you, Jesus.